Well, it is my joy tonight to introduce our guest speaker. It's rare that I go 2 weeks in a row without speaking, but you're going to find out why. Because our guest speaker tonight is somebody we've tried to get for years. It's somebody that I have listened to him speak. We have given out scores of his books, and yet when we tried to get in touch with him to come, it never seemed to work out. So when we found out that we could get him tonight, we're like, let's do it. Let's do it. So our guest speaker, his name is Tim. He wears green Converse All-Stars in leather, so that's pretty cool. But more importantly, he and his family travel around the United States and internationally as well to help people grow in their walk with Jesus and learn what it means to live the Spirit-filled life. And he's just got a, God's hand is on him to kind of help simplify and help us help us grow in our walks with Jesus and living in the Spirit. And so we asked Tim, while you're in the area and you're free on Monday, will you come hang out with us for a few days? So he's going to be with us through Dive Deep and has moved in for a few days. So will you give a great big warm Chi Alpha welcome to Mr. Tim Enloe?
Hey, good evening. Isn't it great to be here? Aren't you glad you're here and not at Virginia Tech? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, good night. I turned my flashlight on. How in the world did I do that? I'm like a total tech idiot. There we go. I was trying to put my clock on there. All right, there we go. All is well. Hey, it is so good to be with you. We've been looking forward to this Monday night, and I think God has amazing things for us. And I've been praying that God would install some stuff into our personal operating systems tonight that would be long-term beneficial to help us. On some levels, he's going to organize some data that's already there, you know, because how many of you have a brain? Okay, I was just looking to see if there's any, like, obvious major that didn't raise their hand there. Okay, so I know it's, are you at midterms yet? But I believe God's going to organize some of the data that's already there, but then I'm believing God to help us to kind of download some other stuff and then to give us some practical tools to help us to do something with it, because just knowing about God makes you a really good God librarian, but it makes you a rotten Christian. But really knowing who God is and knowing about him and then interacting with him is what makes us people that have relationship with him. And so I pray that tonight God moves some stuff out of like the God trivia file out of our lives and puts it into the I walk with God in this way stuff in our lives. So we're going to dive right in because time is short. And I'm going to take a few moments with you tonight and talk to you about how the Holy Spirit helps us. And since I was 14 years old, my favorite verse in the Bible has been John chapter 16, verse 15, and we'll dive into that in just a moment too, but simply put, and I hope that all of you can memorize this verse even before the night's over. It's super simple. In John 16, 15, Jesus says, "Everything the Father has is mine. That's why I said the Holy Spirit will take from what is mine, and he'll make it known to you." And our key thought tonight is that the Holy Spirit's ministry helps us to access the supernatural, God's supernatural, right? So can you hit me with the slide that says, who is the Holy Spirit? That'd be awesome. So let's talk for a second about who the Holy Spirit is, because honestly, there's so much confusion about this. There are some people that think like the Holy Spirit is an archangel that like every Pentecost Sunday gets, you know, elevated to be God, and then he put him back in his dove cage until the rest of the year, you know. And then there are other people that just different ideas about who the Holy Spirit is. Well, the Bible shows us that the Holy Spirit is God's personal spirit. Just like we have a tangible part and an intangible part, God is spirit, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit is God's personal spirit. And so that raises the question, really, about Trinity. You know, I'm sure you've heard the word Trinity before. For a lot of people, it's just like the local church or hospital or something like that, or high school. But Trinity is a word you'll never find. Is there a high school around here called that? A bar. Oh, there you go. Well, hey, spirit one way or another, right? But the idea of Trinity is a word you'll never find used in the Bible, but the principle of Trinity you'll find all through the Scriptures. And Trinity is just a word that was invented by theologians to try to describe how God is made up, you know, how he's made up his nature. And so there are two facts about Trinity. I know this is review for almost everybody, but this understanding, this one foundation stone kind of helps us to understand how the Holy Spirit wants to help us. But the two facts about Trinity in a nutshell, principle number one, and the overwhelmingly most important principle, is that God is one being, one substance, one entity. As Christians, we are monotheists. We don't worship many gods. We don't worship the God of the sun and the moon and the stars and fried onion rings or whatever. We worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the eternal creator God, Yahweh, or if you mispronounce the vowels, Jehovah, you know. And so that's who we worship as Christians. We worship the God of the Bible, and God is one. You know, great scripture on this. You can check it out. The Hebrew Shema in Deuteronomy 6 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." And the idea at the time of that writing, when Moses is speaking this and God is declaring it through Moses, is that all the like the gods of the Canaanites and all these other people groups around, they're all worshiping things they're carving with their own hands. They're animists. They're worshiping the stars of the sky and the frogs of the bog and all this kind of stuff. And so God speaks and he says, "Hey, I'm the eternal God. I'm one being." So that is seriously the most important fact about Trinity. God is one being, all right? Now, the second most important fact, and second in order and second in importance, is that even though God is one being, one substance, one entity, within his one being, he is so much bigger and vastly different than we are, even though we're created in some ways in his image. He's so much bigger and vastly different than we are that he doesn't fit into one puny idea of human personage. Within his one being, he has the three distinct persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that you get the idea, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God's Spirit. He is as much God as the person of Jesus or the person of the Father. Now, the problem is trying to cram that into a human coconut, which is, since we're in the nursing hall, I figured I'd use a medical term here. The idea of like, you know, many persons within one being, right away we go, "Oh, I got an Aunt Nancy like that," you know? And, you know, we kind of think about that, and we think about like multiple personalities and these sorts of different things that come. Those are like human coping mechanisms, psychological coping mechanisms when a human goes through really bad stuff, personality fragments to try to kind of avoid things. And in some ways, it's actually kind of good because it kind of gets people through the pain or whatever on some levels. But we're not talking about God as like broken, like he was whole one day and then some bad stuff happened, you know, whatever. And, you know, and then he kind of broke. No, God is whole and complete. But within his one being, he has the three distinct persons of the Trinity. Now, again, the reason why that's so important is a lot of Christians kind of function this way. They go, "Well, God the Father, he's really God. After all, he has a throne," right? And then Jesus, well, he's really God too, since the resurrection at least, because he's sitting at a folding chair at the right hand of the Father. And the Holy Spirit, well, I'm not so sure, you know. He's like the practical joker of the Trinity. He's the one that moves around and sometimes lands on people during church services and make them scream or wet their pants or something like that, you know. And I see some of you had that happen tonight. And so he's kind of like, a lot of people kind of view the Holy Spirit's ministry with suspicion. Like, you can trust God the Father, although he's probably mad at you, right? You can trust Jesus. I mean, come on, it's Jesus. He died for you, right? But the Holy Spirit, I'm not so sure, you know. A lot of people really kind of practically view it that way. Not so much theologically, like with stated doctrinal theses, you know. But in practicality, they go, "Oh, I don't know if you can really open up to the Holy Spirit." I've even heard people say before, check this out. I mean, it's bizarre, but the statement's been made. If you open up to the Holy Spirit, you might have demonic activity. You ever heard something like that before? I mean, it's really crazy. We're talking about the being of God himself. And to put it bluntly, none of us could ever even enter the kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit's ministry. Like, before you and I ever gave our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, was working in us. And we think of some scriptures like John 16:8, when Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world or the lost. And the word there, convict, bring to the convincing point. Convict the world or the lost in regard to their sin. How many have sinned? About half of you? The ones that didn't raise your hand, I could tell there was something special about you. I could just tell just by looking in your eyes. But, you know, we've all sinned. And so the Holy Spirit brings to us the revelation before we know Christ that we've got a sin problem. And then secondly, that we have sinned, that God has no sin. And then the thirdly, that because of those two facts, the syllogism goes on, that then there's judgment to come. So he brings us to that spot. Awesome testimony tonight from you, by the way. Incredible. Wasn't that awesome? And when God's working in your heart, you know, the Holy Spirit starts working in you before you give your life to Christ. That's how much God loves us. The Holy Spirit has on like his sewer waders on, and he's kind of going through our yucky lives before Jesus, and he's working on us, and he's reaching out to us. And then the Bible even says then the moment that we give our lives to Christ, like Jesus calls it being born again in John 3:3-8, or born of the Spirit. He uses that term too. And then the Apostle Paul picks it up in Titus 3:5. He says that when we're born again, we are washed with the water of regeneration by the Holy Spirit. And regeneration is just another way of translating that word born again. He's the one that makes us brand new. And then the second we're born again, the second we give our lives to Jesus, immediately the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Lots of scripture on that, like the Corinthian temple text, like 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19. Our bodies, our soma, our carcass is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, he lives in us. Like we kind of loosely, metaphorically say, you know, oh yeah, Jesus lives in my heart. You know, and that's fine. Keep on saying it. Nothing wrong with it. But, you know, to be like super biblically accurate, if Jesus is in your heart and he's not in your spleen, you've got problems, right? Or in your pancreas or your gizzard, if you have one. He wants to live inside of us. And the Bible, the real clear teaching there is not that like Jesus is just like he's living in my left ventricle, but it's that the Holy Spirit lives in my body. He lives in me. It's like the temple is no longer needed in Jerusalem. The tabernacle in the wilderness is no longer needed. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wherever we go as a Christian, we're bringing the same presence of God that like hovered over the Ark of the Covenant and was dwelling there. We bring that with us wherever we go because we're born again. We're new creation in Christ Jesus. And then like another way the Holy Spirit helps us is when after we're born again, after we give our lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit helps us to grow and mature, and we experience like the fruit of the Spirit and character transformation. How many find your life a little different since you started serving Jesus? He's helping us, you know? Turn to your neighbor and say, you still have a little bit more to go, though, all right? And so the Holy Spirit, especially the Redskin fans, and so look, I'm a bitter Eagles fan. It was painful on Sunday. You've got to pray for me, all right? But the whole idea of it is that the Holy Spirit is here to help us as Christians. He's not someone that comes and like freaks us out like some Christian Halloween kind of thing where he comes and freak, you know, whatever. I mean, he's here to help us in every way. And for us to have resistance against the Holy Spirit, which is kind of natural if you're human, you know. And so to have resistance against the Holy Spirit only slows down the work of God in our lives. Check out this statement. It is absolutely impossible for a Christian to fulfill the will of God for their lives without the Holy Spirit's help. Absolutely impossible. Impossible. We need his help. All the things that God wants us to do, a lot of them are things that we can do by our own power and effort. You know, if somebody's hungry, we can give them a sandwich. You know, there's a lot of like practical ministry helps and things that God wants us to do and the different callings God's put on each of your life. Some of you are like going to solve major diseases and others of you are going to be like gourmet chefs that are going to clog arteries and you can work together that way. And, you know, I mean, but there's God's put a special call on each one of our lives to do different things and whatever, but there's some stuff in the hand of the Lord in each one of our lives that we can pull off through human effort and energy and skill. And then there's a lot of stuff in our lives, too, that we need, like, God's supernatural help to pull off, supernatural wisdom and help in so many ways. So I'm gonna draw a little diagram here real quick with you. Hit the first diagram picture. And I don't know if you can see this, and please accept my apology. I used the term man generically, and I kind of did that intentionally because it's a little bit of a negative. And how many know our ladies are the most awesome creatures God has ever made, right? Okay. And I could have put up there human, but it just felt, you know. So what this represents, just real quick, what this represents, the white line represents the ultimate scientific, excellent strength, you know, reach of humanity. It's the ceiling of the natural realm. What I mean by that is that's like the ultimate extent of all human ability. So we have below that human ability. We have human wisdom, human skill, human awareness. And humans can do some pretty awesome things. You know, if you think about, like, if I know this is like before any of you were born, but like when they put the man on the moon before I was born too, but when they did that, they had an IBM mainframe computer the size of 3 tractor trailers that had 40 megabytes of memory on it. It's like, you know, wait, you got like a 64 or 128 gig iPhone, you know, it's crazy. It's like you know, the iPod you had when you were 10 years old has more memory than all of the computers at NASA when they put a man on the moon, you know? And yet, even though we can put like a man on the moon with human ability, we can't ever seem to like do some of the dumbest things, you know? We can do amazing things, scientific breakthroughs and artistic excellence and humanitarian stuff and all this great stuff. And yet, there's still some things that when we bump into them, we realize the limitations of humanity. Like, you know, many of you have had, you know, family issues, or you've been, your family's broken up, or maybe you know what it's like to, to be in a part of a foreclosure, or losing a job, or losing a loved one, or facing, you know, disease. And we know what it's like when things are going really well, you kind of feel invincible. And then all of a sudden, when the rug gets pulled out from underneath you, you realize, man, I'm not invincible. And so we have this ceiling of the natural realm that's there, and a lot of good stuff can happen there, but there's a distinct spot. Like if you're in the hospital waiting for the surgeon to come out and give the news, and they come out and they say something like, you know, hey, we've done everything we can, now we just have to wait. That's like bumping into that ceiling of the natural realm. Now, above that, we have God's ability. Now, God's ability, for the diagram's sake, we just put it up there, but God's ability, he can operate freely above and below that ceiling line, and so there's no limitation for him. For us, it's a hard barrier, right? But for God, he can operate anywhere. He can do anything. He's God, right? And so there's no limitation. In God's zone, he would have God's wisdom and God's skill and God's awareness, which is just awesome. He can do anything. And so we have, simply put, the realm we live in is the natural realm, and the realm of God is the supernatural, right? And the supernatural kind of freaks us all out, because in the natural realm, we have our five senses to navigate them, right? We are able to do stuff naturally. We can see, we can hear, we can taste, we can touch. How many of you are sitting by someone that smells, you know? And so we have these different senses to help us navigate that. But when it comes to like the God stuff, we kind of use these vague, squishy terms like I feel, you know, and we don't really know how to navigate it, because our senses aren't really sometimes very accurate there. I mean, if God appeared to you and you were able to put like a voltage meter on each, you know, one of his earlobes or something like that, and how many God gigawatts was blowing through there or whatever, you know, able to draw some blood and go, wow, high in the midichlorian level, Jesus. You know, you're able to kind of figure things out. You could have like some scientific method there and figure things out. But with God, we don't deal with that in that way. And we have to be okay to say, there are some things that I can scientifically grasp and understand and parse and figure out. And then there's the God stuff that I can't always figure out. And I'm okay with that, because God supplies needs in my life that scientific method doesn't supply, you know? And so simply put, look at this diagram real quick, all right? And then can you multitask with me? So you're checking out the diagram with your eyes. All right, I want you to kind of remember that little discussion we had about Trinity a moment ago. Remember that? Kind of put that on the back burner, all right? And then listen again to our key scripture, all right? So get these three balls juggling here. Jesus said, "Everything the Father has is mine. That's why I said the Holy Spirit will take from what is mine," and if I can paraphrase, "he'll puncture that ceiling, that white line, and make it known to you." We receive supernatural help from God through the Holy Spirit's ministry. It's essential that we have his ministry. We need his help. We need his ministry in greater ways than ever before. Whether you're facing a crisis or not, if you want to fulfill God's will in your life and really make your life count rather than just being another statistic, you know, a lot of people, they kind of like live life on accident, and they just kind of like, you know, one day they get the gold watch and, you know, they're like, 65 years old, get the gold watch, they get back of their Oldsmobile, drive home, you know, and then they sit in the back porch and drink lemonade and collect Beanie Babies or whatever it is, and then one day they keel over, and then their closest friends that find it convenient to attend their funeral come, and they go to a little church house, and they say, well, you know, Ralph was a good guy. I mean, yeah, he had tragic putrid body odor, but he was a good guy, you know, and then they throw some dirt on you, and everyone goes back to the church, and they eat a plate full of potato salad, and they go home and sell your junk in a yard sale, you know. And if you want your life to be like that, that's a Christian can live a life that way. A life that, yeah, you're going to go to heaven, you're going to be with the Lord, and you have a relationship with him, you go to church, whatever, but your life doesn't really matter in a lot of ways, like all the ways that God wants your life to matter. How many say, I feel in my life that God wants to do something bigger through me than I could ever pull off by myself, right? I want to live a life that has purpose and meaning. I just don't want to be a statistic, or I don't want to, you know. And so in order to experience a life like that, where we fulfill the will of God, we need to ever increasingly open up to more of the Holy Spirit's ministry, God's ministry in our lives, so great things like that can happen. And the Bible shows us there are three main ways the Holy Spirit helps us. And I just want to take just these next couple moments and just remind you of the three major ministries that the Holy Spirit has for us as Christians, so that we can really fulfill the ways of God and the will of God and access His supernatural help. Everybody needs help, right? Do me a favor. Unfurl your index finger. Got it out? Lean it right over in your neighbor's grill. Like a little too close, like you would normally do. And just say, you need help. Just tell them, all right? Yeah. I see some picking going on right here. That's inappropriate, right? The first of the ministries of the Holy Spirit that help us access God's supernatural is supernatural purification or supernatural purity, right? So we're not talking about like a human ability to clean things, like getting down on the, you know, microscopic level and cleaning things. Well, how many of you are kind of like neat freaks or germaphobes? All right, how many of you, you're a neat freak, but your roommate is a hoarder, filthy hoarder. You got any of those here? That's like a collision of two worlds, right? It's like I got the tape line down the middle of the room, keep your roaches on that side, right? And so we're talking not about a human ability to clean things up, and humans can clean pretty good. Do we have any pre-med students here? Okay, the whole room? Yeah, okay, we're like nursing school. Have you studied Lister yet? Yes? No? Come on, he's got mouthwash named after him, Listerine, right? It has nothing to do with him. Lister, the father of modern sanitary surgical procedure. Like before Lister, they were like, eating a sandwich and, you know, digging out, you know, stuff out of people. You know, I mean, it was filthy. You ought to thank God for Lister if you've ever had surgery, because that's why doctors wash their hands between patients, all right? Right? So the whole idea of Lister was he kind of put together the work of Louis Pasteur and some of this other stuff and some of the microbe ideas, and kind of before his time said, maybe the reason why most of the patients are dying that we operate on and we can't see why and all of a sudden this, you know, they go from like a wound to like more of a latte is that maybe there's something we can't see going on there, right? Kind of, that would be like a Starbucks masterpiece, wouldn't it? They would put it in like a gauze doily or something like that. It'd just be really appropriate. You thinking what I'm thinking? All right. Some entrepreneur out there is going, that's a good idea. All right. But the idea was there were some things that you couldn't see with human instrumentation, just the normal eye, that could kill you. And the same way, the Holy Spirit comes and He reveals to us that we've got a sin problem that's a whole lot deeper than just, you know, hey, I've had indiscretions, I've made wrong decisions. Isn't that kind of the way we downplay our own sin? We kind of go, well, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's called sin or not in my case, you know. I mean, I haven't killed anyone for days, you know, and I'm not nearly as bad as, and then they'll name, you know, some like murderous sociopath, you know, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, Adolf Hitler, you know. And so they kind of, we have this way of kind of comparing ourselves against another human, which sounds logical. But God doesn't compare us against other humans. He compares us against His own righteous standard. And so that's why we're in big trouble. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, there is a purity in your life that is necessary to have a relationship with God that you are incapable of cleaning yourself to get to that level. And so God reaches down, and by the Holy Spirit, He reveals, He convicts us of our sin, and He says that. And so, like Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 7 or 17, Paul is speaking to Christians here. And he says some incredible things like this, like in verse 12. He says, therefore, dear brothers, you have no obligation to fulfill your sinful urges. He's telling Christians that you're still going to have the urge to sin. How many Christians have ever had the urge to sin, right? Like after a really bad game, you know, or maybe you whack your thumb with a hammer or you see something like that. And so we've experienced that. We know what it's like to have, you know, you go, man, I wish that wasn't in me. I wish I wasn't so angry. I wish I didn't, you know, do this or do that. And so we know what it's like to have that. But then he goes on to say, but we don't have any obligation to fulfill those sinful urges. And then he goes on to say, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. So there's kind of like two levels of supernatural purification. The first one is when we give our lives to Christ, we're born again, we're born of the Spirit, as the text up there, or regenerated, we're in relationship with God, right? That's the first. The moment we give our lives to Christ, He power washes us, and the second that we're born again, the Holy Spirit cleans us up, and at that moment, we are instantly, spiritually, as clean can be. You can't get any cleaner than the second after you give your life to Christ. But the problem is, we keep on breathing. And humans are real crud magnets, right? How many of you, your roommate is a good testimony of that, right? Okay. So we need help after we're born again. There's two levels of purity. And the purity at the moment of God cleansing us when we're born again, when we're born of the Spirit, is the first level. And the second level is then the Bible calls sanctification. That's like a sounds like some kind of like medical process or something like that. But sanctification is simply this. Someone that's already given their lives to Christ, growing in supernatural purity, growing to be more like Jesus and less like their own selfish desires. And that's really a big goal for us. And honestly, the more we pursue that growing in purification in the things of the Lord, the better our lives go. It eliminates so much of our self, because I don't know if you figured it out. I mean, the devil's bad or whatever, but he would have like no power if I didn't give it to him. And so we have this way of kind of like my own selfish nature cooperates with that. And then I find myself in some really rotten spots. So we need the Holy Spirit's help supernaturally. And you'll notice there in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says that we have to, by the Holy Spirit, put to death the misdeeds of the sinful nature. You know, like there are some sins or whatever, you can just go, man, I'll never do that again. Man, I will never freebase liquid Drano again. Good night, that burns. I'm done, you know. But then there are some things that maybe no matter how hard you try, you can't overcome by your own strength. You know what it's like? Probably every Christian has had an issue or two in their life where no matter how hard they try, they couldn't stop. They find some like habitual sin issue going on in their life, some bondage deal going on. And it's interesting because no matter how hard you can try with your human effort below the white line, you and I can't achieve spiritual purity in some areas. No, I mean, there are some like moral things we can just go, I'm done. I'm not going to do that anymore. But then there are so many things that we face in life that we need supernatural help. How do you access supernatural purification after you've given your life to the Lord? Maybe tonight you're struggling in some kind of addiction or something like that. How do you overcome that? You know, it's so easy. How do we access anything from God? You ready? It's really this easy. We humble ourselves and we call out to the Lord. We pray. That's how we gave our lives to Christ, wasn't it? We humble ourselves. How do you humble yourself? You say, I have a need, Lord, you know? And then we pray. We call out to Him with real honesty, not like religious piety or flowery poetry, whatever, but we cry out to Him out of the depths of our heart. God, I'm just going to be honest with you. You know what's inside of me anyway, so here's what I'm dealing with. And name it out to Him and say, God, help me. I need help. And it may take more than just one season of prayer. Like, for example, in my life, there are some things that I prayed about years ago. Right away, bam, like lightning, God sent a FedEx and it was all fixed. And then there's some other things that took like seasons of prayer. And then honestly, there are some things in my life that I've not dealt with for years, but I don't ever want to deal with them again. So I kind of throw it in my pile as often as I can remember. Hey, Lord, thanks for setting me free from that, but keep me free from it in the days to come too. Kind of like a little maintenance prayer on that. And so this is a constant process. It's not like a big lightning bolt comes and hits you. You know, hey, if you want to experience sanctification where you're like a pure, you know, state as a Christian, whatever, and keep on growing, you go to the high point of the city on Yom Kippur and wrap your head in a foil cone and, you know, grease down with electric conducive jelly and wait for the lightning bolt, you know, and then it zaps it out of you, you know. Please don't do that. And so I have to give the disclaimer. But it's not like it's just this big Jehovah Zappa moment where something may happen like that. But instead, it's a life process. It's a constant climb. And maybe some of you have been around some like older, mature Christians, whatever, that really love God, but they're real nasty. You ever been around one of those before? Don't name names, right? But if you've ever been around one of those before, that is a person that's been born again but has stopped pursuing greater levels of supernatural purity. So what happens, they begin to become selfish and self-important, and their opinions go over crazy, and then they begin to damage and hurt other people, and yet they go to church and love Jesus. And you go, how in the world can that be? Because it's someone that's in the kingdom of God, but is no longer actively pursuing the message of John the Baptist. I must decrease, and he must increase, right? So supernatural purification. And so this is really, really important for us. Like, have you ever taken care of a swimming pool before? So what is it when you unwrap the swimming pool in the spring and, you know, you put that pool to bed, it was nice and clean. I mean, it was like perfect. And then when you open it up, it's more of a petri dish, you know, and you go, man, I didn't know we had so many groundhogs in the neighborhood, you know, tragic, they couldn't swim, you know, but suddenly I'm hungry for gumbo, you know, and so you begin to say, you know, yuck, right? So you fish those things out. And what is the chemical you put in the pool when you're unwrapping it the first time? It's chlorine, but what is the intensity of chlorine called? Shock, right? How many know about shock? So it's like this high, super high concentrated chlorine is in little packages, and when you open it up, you better have it away from your face because, man, it will exfoliate, as they say. And so you sprinkle that stuff in, and it's a way too high a concentration of chlorine for that, for the normal use in the pool, but it quickly brings purity, chemical purity. Man, that bleach just kills pretty much everything in there, almost all the sea monkeys and everything in there, just real quickly. And it brings it to quick purity. But then can you imagine if you put shock in the pool every single day, what it'd be like? I mean, you'd be your own Halloween skeleton, right? I mean, it would eat all the flesh off your bones, right? So what do you do every day, like if you're taking care of a pool? You just like check it with a little tester and the red and green drops and the ketchup and mustard sauce in there and shake it up. And then you just put in just enough chlorine to maintain it within the certain parameters of hey, this is pure enough to burn my eyes, but not pure enough to stop my breathing, right? You know? And so this is like this. When we're born again, God shocks our spiritual pool and brings us to instant purity. But then as a believer, we have to keep on going back to the Lord and saying, Lord, where do I stand here? You know, help me, Lord. And we have to keep on going back daily and just in our own prayer life and our own time in the Word of God, say, Lord, look into my heart. And, you know, because it's easy to see other people's problems, right? How many are sitting by someone that has some real obvious problems, right? Okay. But it's difficult to see our own, right? That's a conversation starter, isn't it? All right. Let's look at the second ministry of the Holy Spirit here real quick. Supernatural revelation. Supernatural revelation. I don't mean revelation like the book of Revelation and seven seals and blood moons and whatever this thing is. But I'm talking about God revealing things to us. And there's, with everything, there's like a balance on this. Because some people, they go, you know, hey, God, from the time they stopped writing the Bible, God stopped talking to people. He lives in a nursing home behind Venus. And he doesn't care about anything. And one day he's going to send a fireball to the earth. And then it's all done. And some people live that way, expecting no help from the Lord to guide and lead us. But we need his help in making decisions, don't we? You know. And then there's like other people where they're so spooky about supernatural things. Everything's weird, you know. On July 28th, I was in church taking communion, and all of a sudden a bright light opened up, and I was beamed up to the mothership, and I saw Jesus and Elvis, you know. And it's like... You're like, come on, stop being weird. And like anything in our Christian walk, it's, you know, it's the balance in the middle. The biblical balance is where we want to stay. So when we talk about supernatural revelation, this is where our key text is. You can check this out later on tonight. But in John 14 and the end of 15 and 16 is the teaching Jesus gives the apostles and the Christians around there right before he goes and gets arrested and goes to the passion of the cross and the resurrection. And that whole thing, it's the biggest collected teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit preserved for us in the words of Jesus. And check it out. Every verb about the Holy Spirit is all revelation. He'll speak, he'll lead, he'll guide, he'll teach, he'll strengthen, he'll reveal, he'll make known. Like our key verse, everything the Father has is mine, Jesus said. That's why I said the Holy Spirit will take from what is mine and will make it known to you. He reveals the truth of Jesus into our lives. And we need help making decisions. How many, just curious, you've ever felt like God's helped you, led you in making a decision before? Probably even come in here, you know? And if you've, you know, maybe you ate like a bad burrito before, like maybe I should have asked the Lord before that, well, if that was a good decision or not, you know? And so at what level does God care about our decisions? Is it just like the big things, like what car, what school, what spouse, you know, what house? Or does God actually concerned about other things in our lives? I have found in my life that God is concerned about whatever I offer to him. God's concerned about that level. If I offer down to something, you know, something as small, I mean, I don't like have angels tell me what breakfast cereal to select, you know. Oh, Lord, whatever be thy will, if it's Cookie Crisp or Frankenberry, let it, you know. And then but Lord, you always have to have the theological caveat. Only, Lord, you know my innermost parts. If thou knowest I need all bran, come and, you know, let that pour into my bowl. You know, like, I'm not talking about weirdness like that. But I'm talking about, you know, asking God for help. And the more you and I engage with the Holy Spirit and say, hey, the Bible says Jesus promised you would guide me, and I really need some help here. Are these the people I should be hanging out with? Is this the direction I should go? Make it known to me. I'm not saying that you're going to get like fire writing in the sky or telegrams from God or whatever it is. But God will begin to speak to you in the inner being. And it's not like anything on level with the Scripture. Scripture has the final word, the final authority. We don't get revelation today that's on the level of Scripture, but we get revelation from the Holy Spirit to help us navigate life, and it has to line up with the Scripture. If any, you know, like we get this like dream or vision and it says, you know, hey, there are six people in the Trinity, you can pretty much know that's not God, you know? And so we have the Word of God as like the constant anchor point, but then we also have the leading and help of the Holy Spirit to help us navigate. Earlier we talked about, like, in the natural realm, under that white line, the ceiling of the natural realm, we have our five senses to help us navigate life. But in the supernatural realm, the biblical tools we have, number one, the Word of God, a concrete intellectual anchor point. We can dive in and we can study ink on page. But then we also biblically have the leading of the Holy Spirit to help us navigate life. And how do we access supernatural revelation from the Holy Spirit? Check it out. Humble yourself and pray. Exact same way. God, I have a need. I don't know what to do. I've got these opportunities or I got these issues going on. Lord, please show me. And I've found them, whatever you engage God with, he'll typically help you in. It's like you're sending him an invitation to come to your party. That's really what prayer is, right? You're saying, like Jesus said, Father, let things on earth in my life look like they do in heaven's perfect plan. You know, I'm inviting you into these circumstances. And the more you invite Jesus to your party, the more he shows up. And so we receive supernatural revelation. Then the final one is supernatural ability. Supernatural ability. And the book of Acts is all full about that. About how the Holy Spirit comes and gives us supernatural ability really to help and minister to other people. Because it's within the heart of every follower of Jesus to really do something great in their lives. I don't think anybody that's given their lives to Christ wants to like live life on autopilot, doing nothing for the Lord, being like a, you know, like a Christian pew potato kind of, you know, veg out, bathrobe, you know, bed hair, stinky breath, you know, Cheetos, and yet you can name all the Star Trek characters, kind of a person, you know, live in your mother's attic, but that's too close. Don't talk about me that way, But I don't think anybody wants to do that. I think in the heart of everyone that's given their lives to Christ, you're like, you know what? God has a bigger purpose for my life than just the things that I can do. And he does. He empowers us to do great things. But we need supernatural help on different times, supernatural ability. And he's here to help us. Like check this out. A lot of times, and I know on the Dive Deep service, they'll pray for people to receive healing. And I know there's all kinds of, you know, we have all kinds of questions about this, but just back in the month of February, we were in Aberdeen, South Dakota. It was a church that we had spoken at, a community thing we had spoken at before a couple of years earlier. And we do Holy Spirit conferences, they call them. And typically the last night, we'll ask people to pray for each other, you know, it's like welcoming God to come and do something supernatural. You know, if you don't ever invite him, he's probably not going to show up, right? And so I find the more you pray for people, the more God does stuff. And so there was this lady that came up to me this past February. We had been there 2 years previously, and she said to me this past February, do you remember me? And I looked at her, and I'm like, well, I mean, you got to help me. You know, always try to be honest. And she said, well, 2 years ago when you were here, you know, God did something in my life. And I said, oh, that's fabulous. And she said, well, you probably don't recognize me because I look considerably different. And she said, well, I was kind of hunched over like this. And she said, not because I was like a hunchback or anything, but because I have advanced multiple sclerosis. And she said, I've had it for years, and I had it before the beta serons and interferons and stuff like that kind of slow down the damage. She said, I had the severe damage before any of that happened, like in the 90 or something, 1990, when the first really good medicines came out like that. And she's like, so I've got all this damage. And she said, you probably don't recognize me either because I used to have those cane crutch things that where you clip onto the handle with your hand, and then it's got the clip that goes around your forearm. And she said, and I my legs didn't work, so my feet kind of dragged. She said, I kind of walk like a duck because I'd have to kick my feet up, and they were turned outward. And as she's starting talking about it, I kind of began to remember her a little bit, you know. And so she starts telling me the story. She said, yeah, at the end of the service, you know, we had people kind of get around in groups and kind of pray for each other for whatever, you know, just giving God an opportunity to be supernatural. And so she said, yeah, a bunch of ladies from the church got around me, and she said they all kind of prayed quietly, like South Dakota, North Dakota, everybody's like super chill and, you know, just kind of, well, hello there, you know, kind of got some lutefisk and whatever, and don't you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, anybody from that area? Well, I love the Dakotas, all right? And so, it's Minnesota. That's really the bad part. No, I'm teasing. No. I'm teasing them. But there the people there are kind of generally, and this is like super generalization, but they're generally really chill and just kind of easygoing and stuff. And so she said the ladies just kind of gathered around her and prayed. And she said, I told them, hey, pray for me. I have MS and I'm just in so much pain and, you know, and I've got all this deficit and I really am struggling and I'm about ready to lose my license because she could still drive a little bit. And she said, I'm just really in a bad spot. And so the ladies from the church just kind of gathered around and just kind of muttered, like real quiet, chill, not didn't grab her by the head and shake her or anything like that. But just, you know, just laid her hand on her shoulder and just began to pray. And she said, I didn't feel or sense anything at all. I sensed that God loved me and the people there were loving me, and that was meaningful. But I didn't get hit by, like, any bolt of lightning. And she said, then I went outside, and as I went outside to get to my car, she says, I'm walking. Right when I got to my car, I pull out my keys, and my hands don't work very good. I don't have feeling in my hands, and my dexterity is bad, and I have a lot of spasticity in the muscles. She said, I picked up my ring of keys, and as I'm flipping through them to get my car key, which is a real task when you don't have dexterity, she said, I dropped my keys on the ground. And she said, that might not sound like a big deal to you, but for me, that's major crises because I've got these clip-on crutches. I have no balance, and I've got to bend down and get them. And she said, honestly, the next thing I realized, I was pulling into my driveway. She said, it wasn't like I passed out or got translated or something like that, but it just was picking up the keys, getting in was not a big deal. I just like, wow, that was nothing. And she said, the next thing I noticed, I pulled in my driveway, my duplex. She said, I put my foot on the brake, and she said, you have to understand, I can't feel my feet. But all of a sudden, when I depressed the brake, I could feel the tension in my foot and in my ankle and in my calf. She said, I could feel my feet. I about freaked out. I put the car into park. And she said, I just kind of like, wow, that's crazy. And she said, so the next thing I know, I'm inside and I'm hanging the keys on the hook by the door. And I go to put my crutch cane clip-on things in the corner where they belong because she said, I have my furniture arranged in my house where I can always hang on to something because I can't really get around the passages that way. And she said, when I went to put them in the corner, I realized I didn't have them. I had left them in the car. And she said, there's no way I can navigate those three concrete steps to get up. No way possible. She said, then it hit me. She said, all of a sudden, I had to pee like a racehorse. And she kind of smiled. And she said, now, and she's looking down now because she's like, you know, I'm probably sharing too much, but just, I mean, how many of you pee? All right? So we've all been there, right? Okay? And if you don't, it's the person that's like, right? Okay. And she said, the reason why that's a big deal, she said, 9 years ago, I had an MS exacerbation on my spine, cerebral spine, something in that area. She said that totally destroyed the nerve connection between her brain and her bladder muscles and nerves. She said, I can't tell when I need to go. I can't tell when I don't need to go, and I can't release the muscles. And she said, every time for the last 9 years, I have to like catheterize myself multiple times a day. She said, I've not had the urge to pee for 9 years. She said, all of a sudden, I'm standing there, and I've got to pee. She said, I feel like I'm going to die if I don't. She said, so I went to the bathroom. She's like looking down. She's like, you know, kind of like embarrassing. And she said, it went well. It went well. She said, the next week was my normal doctor's appointment in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is actually a really good, super strong medical community. They're real like research and all kinds of stuff. And she's like a leading MS specialist there. And he's a great follower of Jesus, a Catholic guy that loves Jesus so much and has seen God do great things. And she went to her doctor there. And he freaked out when he saw her. He's like, Shirley, what's going on with you? What kind of vitamins are you taking, you know? And she's like, you're not going to believe this. Some ladies from the church prayed, and it wasn't like instant, but it was like in a couple hours, all of a sudden everything began to come back. And she's like telling them all this stuff, and they go through all the standard, you know, neurological tests and all this stuff. And she's scoring off the charts, and her old damage is not there from almost 30 years back to the time that it started, nearly 30 years. And then the major stuff she's been dealing with, and she's like, you know, I've got this, and I got this, and I can feel my feet, and I can do this. And going on down the line, he's like, we're going to run some MRIs, and they run MRIs, and he comes out to her, follow up, and he goes, you're not going to believe this, but he said, we have no reason to think that you have active MS processes in your body. And after then another month or two of testing, just to be sure, they ended up yanking her off of all the medicine that she was on, and she has now no MS deficit at all. And she told me back in February that for 2 years now, that she has been totally MS symptom-free. She still goes back to her doctor, and they have lunch now. And they take her to lunch. And now she's no longer on full disability, of which she had been for 11 years. But instead, she runs the Crisis Pregnancy Center in Aberdeen, South Dakota, and works 60 hours a week full-time. And that happened because some TV evangelist with lightning hair or whatever zapped her. No, it happened just because some believer said, hey, Lord, we humble ourselves and pray, and here surely, Lord, I mean, we can't make it happen. We don't understand it all, but God, would you come and do something? And that availability of power, Holy Spirit ability, is there for all of us. We can't control it, but we can welcome God to work in our lives in supernatural ways. Again, it's not like, well, God's going to give me something powerful and then I can sell it on eBay to the highest bidder, whatever. But it's, you know, the more you pray, the more we welcome God to help us, the more he does, and he helps us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If I can ask the band to sneak up here real quick, we're going to wrap things up here real quick and set the captives free. But I want to ask you to do something, all right? I'm going to have you stand up in just a second. But when you do, don't sneak out, all right? If you try to sneak out, I pray you get like the worst diarrhea you've ever had in your whole life, all right? Like you got to run, you know, okay? All right? Seriously, because I want to spend a moment praying with you, and if you sneak out, you're going to miss what God has, okay? So will you stand up, would you? Okay, if anyone tries to sneak out, turn around and yell at them, all right? Okay? Stand up, take a big stretch. You've been sitting there for a while. Reach up your hands really high. Take a stretch. Rock up on your toes, all right? And I want to spend a moment praying with you before we go tonight, because it's like one thing just to talk about, you know, all that God has for us, and it's another thing to really welcome and to really experience what God has for us. And he's here to help us. You know, there are some here in this room that have served the Lord for a long time. There are others, maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe this is your first time here at Chi Alpha. Wherever you're at in your pursuit of God, he is here to help us. And God's not like a God that just can't wait to just like, you know, zap you right now. He's a God that's at work already in your life. And in mind, he's a process God big time. And so kind of this real simple way I look at it is, am I always just generally trying to get closer to God? You know, and I know sometimes we kind of mess up on that stuff, but I want you to, if you would just for a minute, just close your eyes with me, just to kind of shut out everything and shut down your distractions. And I want you to ask yourself this question: where am I with God? Where am I with him? And maybe you can kind of envision like the fuel tank on your dashboard, which if you're like most college students, it's usually on E, right? But you know, the empty would be like symbolizing, hey, I have zero relationship with God. I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior, never been born again, whatever language you want to use. I've never had that happen. That would be your tank is empty. Maybe your tank is like half full. You go, you know, and that would represent, you know, I've given my life to Christ, I love the Lord. I mean, shoot, here I'm on Chi Alpha on Monday night, you know, and I'm trying my best, you know, but honestly, if I really look at my life, I'm not really giving God the energy that he deserves. And I don't say that to be, you know, like to throw guilt, but I'm just a point of reflection, you know? And where do you stand with God? You know, if your tank's full, that's awesome, that's great. But where do you stand with him tonight? And while we're kind of given times of introspection with our eyes closed and other people privacy tonight to kind of make a decision, I just want to ask you tonight, if your tank's empty and you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sins and be real to you, tonight's an awesome night for you. It's a night God's been waiting for. It's a night, certainly way before this, the Holy Spirit's been building up. He's been showing you your need for him. And tonight, if you want to cooperate with the processes of God and experience what it's like when God throws some spiritual shock in your pool and brings you to purity, no matter what you've done in the past, the power of God's forgiving grace can come and cleanse you. You'll still remember what you've done, but the pain will go away from it. He'll wash away the guilt of it. You'll still remember, but he'll come and cleanse you from the past. He's so amazing. And tonight, if you would like to experience what it's like, you say, my spiritual tank is empty, and tonight I want to give my life to Christ. I want you real quick just to raise a hand all over this house. Say, hey, that's me. That's where I'm at right now. Awesome. Awesome. Good, good, good. That's why we have this, because we want people to experience the life-changing power of Jesus in their lives. How many of you say, hey, I'm kind of like that tank empty person, you know? I've given my life to Christ already, but honestly, I kind of live so spiritually distracted. You know, I come up for air on Monday nights here, and that's awesome, but you know, I really want to welcome more of the Holy Spirit's help to my personal life, to really live the way he wants me to live, and my tank's kind of half full, half empty. I mean, I know I'm serving the Lord, I'm going to heaven, whatever, but you know, I just recognize there's a whole lot farther I could go with the Lord, and I just want to welcome more of the Holy Spirit's help in that way in my life. Would you give me a wave all over this house? Yeah. So many. That's awesome. I love your honesty. I love that about students. Just like all the cards on the table, no baloney. That's just totally cool. Now I want to ask you something really challenging, all right? Right where you're standing, I want to ask 100% of every warm body in this room here tonight to just take a moment and begin to speak out loud a personal prayer to the Lord for more help from the Holy Spirit. Can we do that? For those of you that raised your hand and said, hey, I want to experience what it's like to have Jesus forgive my sins, you can just write out, you don't have to follow my words of prayer. You'll do just fine. Just say something like, Jesus, you know, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me for my sins. I'm going to be in relationship with you. Whatever you pray, it's what's going on in your heart right now that honestly really makes the difference anyway. But I want to ask you bold. Come on, this is UVA, man. You guys are awesome. I want you to raise your voice with me across this room, even if it's not normal for you or you're a very shy person. I want everyone to join me right now audibly. You don't have to yell or anything, but raise your voice and let's just cry out, humble ourselves and pray and welcome more of the Holy Spirit's help. Let's do that right now, can we? Come on. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray for any of my friends that are dealing with like overwhelming bondage issues or addictions in their life. I pray by the power, miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, as we humble ourselves and pray right now, that you would come rushing in and set people free, like with total miracles, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I pray for folks that are just like totally addicted to something, that you would come and break that power in their lives, Lord. Change the whole track in their brain, Lord. I change the whole response system, Lord Jesus. God, I pray for friends that are dealing with like major illness or major struggles or just feel so lost, Lord. I pray, oh God, you'd come and give them focus and direction by your Holy Spirit. Come and work in our lives, oh God. We welcome you tonight. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, I know we have like a real distinct time when we got to get out of here because the way the building is, but I want to like throw a triple dog dare at you. Can you handle that level of a dare? It's like legally the strongest dare possible, all right? And I want to throw this dare at you. Before you lay your head on your pillow tonight, would you get alone with Jesus for like at least 5-10 minutes, just you and him? You have to go to a quiet spot or whatever, and just spend some time picking up where we left off. Like, no guilt. It doesn't have to be like, don't time it, whatever. But just give him a couple moments before you go to bed of real honesty. And when you get alone with him and nobody else is around, I want you to name to him. Like, even if you have to whisper it, like, say it out loud, but cover your mouth so nobody can hear you, all right? But I want you to say out loud the biggest things you're struggling in life to him. That's humbling yourself. And you're saying it out loud to him, say, Jesus, help me by your Holy Spirit in these ways. And you'll find as you do that, you humble yourself and you pray, the Holy Spirit's help will come. And then tomorrow, again and again, just keep on calling out. You'll find the strength level will rise in your life, and God will give you power to be the person that he's called you to be in greater ways. Thanks so much, Pete and Josh. Come on up here and do whatever you need to do. Thank you, guys. You're amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.